Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
In the book of Matthew, chapter number 16, Jesus asked the question, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Some say, "Thou art John the Baptist, or Elias, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Those of you who are familiar with this passage of Scripture know then that Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter made this statement. He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." As you and I have looked at this passage of Scripture, we started out. As a matter of fact, this is the fifth lesson in this series. And we asked this question. Jesus said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And we looked at three things in looking at that. And that is, we asked the question, what does humanity say? We asked the question, what does heaven say? And then we asked the question, what do the hearts of men today say regarding Jesus Christ as the Son of God? We looked at the establishment, we looked at the foundation, and we looked at the cornerstone. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we took the phrase and asked the question, what does it mean to say, "Upon this rock I will build my church"? We looked at that on the basis that that phrase simply points out to us that it was the confession that Peter made. There are those who, they have all kind of ideas about what that means. Some say, well, that's Peter. It is built upon Peter, and therefore Peter being the first quotation marks, according to some, the first pope, and so therefore the church was built upon Peter. Well, that is not true, because the word Peter and the word rock, there are two different Greek words. And when Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," He is referring to the confession that Peter had made, that "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Others have said, well, the church has been built upon the apostles. No, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is the foundation and the chief cornerstone. The Bible says, "Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." And so we looked at this. And that is the confession of Peter. What does it mean? And as we look at that confession, we pointed out, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." In pursuing that, there are three areas that you and I are pointing to. Area number one that we're pointing to simply is the authority. We pointed out, in looking at the authority, that there as well are three areas in the authority. Number one, when we look at the identity and sustainability, we look at all three of these areas. We pursued the concept of authority. What does authority mean? We found in Colossians 3:17, the Bible said, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." The Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "God who in sundry times and in divers manners had in times past spoken unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us through His Son." And so we look at Jesus Christ as the authority. We look for an example in Matthew 17 verse number 5. The Bible tells us God made this statement, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye Him." So we've looked at three areas. We looked at the area of worship, we looked at the area of the entrance into the kingdom, and we looked at the area of organization. When you and I understand that Jesus Christ is the authority, Larry Acuff is not the authority. The elders of this church, when it comes to entrance into the kingdom, is not the authority. The elders are not the authority. Jesus Christ has set the terms of entrance into His kingdom. That if you and I are going to be a part of that kingdom, then we must enter in according to what He has taught us in His Holy Word. When it comes to worship, when it comes to the organization of the church, a man says, "Well, Brother Acuff, don't you think it ought to be this way? I think it ought to be that way." How many times do you and I understand that there are folks who will come along and say, "Yeah, Brother Acuff, but I feel..." If you will look and talk with various individuals, you will find out that many times they'll say, "Well, I feel that it ought to be this way." Ladies and gentlemen, when you and I stand before God the day of judgment, this will not be based on a feeling. It will not be based on what our families taught or did, but it will be based on the Holy Word of God. In Revelation 20, the Bible said, I saw a great white throne and Him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of the things that were written in the books according to their works. So the Bible is going to be open, ladies and gentlemen. Larry Acuff is going to be judged in the day of judgment by the things that are written in the book. Jesus Christ is the authority. Now the second thing, and that is the identity. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to point to that identity. The identity regarding the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now when we look at that, and we look at the authority, and we look at the identity, then we have a better idea of what are we talking about in this concept of identity. We identify. You know, so many times you look at identity. You go to a bank. It's kind of interesting. I didn't realize you'd have to do this, but I had to make a payment at a particular store, and I had to make a payment. Now, if you buy something and you write a check, generally they'll say, "I want to see your identification." Or if you give them a credit card and you say, "I want to charge it on this credit card," they're going to say, "I want to see some kind of identification." Now, I've never gone to pay a bill except at this one place. When I went to pay the bill and I gave them a check, they wanted to see my identification. I thought, well, look, you're going to get the money. What does that mean? And so I found out, I'm just kind of curious. Now, I can understand if I'm buying something and I'm taking something out of your store and I mean, I'm giving you a check for that. I'm sure you're going to want to find out, is that check any good? And I can understand you asking me, let me see your driver's license. You heard about the lady? Went up to the teller and wanted to cash a check, and the lady said, "Well, I need some identification." And so she reached down in her purse and she pulled out her, makeup thing, little thing, you know, had a mirror on it. She looked at it and said, "Yeah, it's me." And so, so many times we think about this concept of identity. Who is it? When you look at the Church of Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, you and I are looking at the concept of identity. In the book of James, the Bible tells us that there are those who blaspheme the name of Jesus. As a matter of fact, if you were to, you go back to the book of James, and James is saying to these folks, listen, these individuals whom you are bowing down to, the context of that is simple. These folks to whom you bow, these were, quotation marks, these were the rich folks. As a matter of fact, he says, do not have the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ with respect to person. And if any man come to you and they're well dressed, and you say to them, you sit down here, or you sit here, or you have the best seat. And so the writer James says, listen, let me tell you about these. He said, these are the very individuals who blaspheme the name of Jesus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I am not saying in the next section of this, I'm not saying that there are those who blaspheme the name of Jesus. But I'm asking a question. When a religious group does everything but exalt the name of Jesus, is that not in violation of New Testament principles? For an example, when you go around our community and our neighborhood, do you and I not find that there are denominational names? And when we look at the denominational names, that the name may be a founder who founded, quotation marks, that religion? Or if you look at another name, that name may be a name that identifies some aspect of that particular religion. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I'm asking the question, why do you want a religion that identifies some other man or that identifies some activity as opposed to the name of Christ? For an example, I want you to just see this. Because in our community, you will find, not just in our community, but you drive anywhere almost in the United States, and you're going to find these kind of New Life Church. believer's church. Glory, praise, glory, heal, praise, and worship. Life changers. So what do you find? I want to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, in all of these, where is the name of Jesus? In all of these, how does it identify the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as being not only the founder, but the head of His body? And so when you look at this, what we need to understand, folks, the Bible says, wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name. Should we not, ladies and gentlemen, in our worship, should we not in the kingdom, should we not focus on the name of Jesus Christ? For an example, salvation, listen to what the Bible says. In the book of Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 21, you remember the Bible tells us that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Or then when you look at Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 38, on the day of Pentecost, when they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And then Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, what? In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin." And so when you and I look at salvation, is it not, ladies and gentlemen, in the name of Jesus Christ? Or if you look at the book of Acts, chapter number 4 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Oh, I know folks say, "Well now, Brother Acuff, the name really does it make that much difference?" Well, you know it makes a difference. You've heard the story. It's been told too many times for you not to remember it. About the old boy that went to a service. And while he was in this, a service of a particular church, the preacher was, he was just, the name doesn't matter. The name doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference what the name is. And they took up a collection at the conclusion of the service, and this fellow who was visiting there wrote a check. And so the next day, the secretary of that church called him and said, "Looky here. We want you to know how..." Well, she probably didn't say, "Looky here," but anyway, she said, "We want you to know how much we appreciate the contribution of $1,000 that you made to our church last night. We want you to know we appreciate that very much." She said, "There is one problem." And he said, "Well, I'm sorry, what is that?" She said, You didn't sign the check." He said, well, that's all right. You just put in the name on that check you want to, because your speaker last night said that it didn't matter what name you had." Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. Salvation is in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Not only that, but look at the church. In Romans chapter number 16 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "The churches of Christ salute you." If you will examine every name in the New Testament, if you, ladies and gentlemen, now, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this. Say, if you'll go back in your mind to this previous slide that I had, and I had various names up there, every single one of them just about identified an individual or a group of individuals rather than Christ. The Bible says the church that belongs to Jesus Christ salutes you. When you and I look at that again, and we find, for an example, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, the Bible says, Paul writing to the church of God at Corinth. What do we find? We find identity. It identifies God. It identifies Christ as the owner of that church. Now, why not? So, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I look at the word church, or we look at honor, in the book of Philippians 2 verse 9 that we have at the top of the screen, the Bible said, "God hath highly exalted Him, given Him a name which is above every name." Look what the Bible says. The Bible says, "At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue shall confess." Are we saying, folks, it doesn't matter? Look, ladies and gentlemen, listen. You and I may think today that all because it feels good, all because we have some kind of an exciting worship where everybody goes away and they are very high, everything's exciting, and we've had all this great service, and I'm for that. I'm for having a service that lifts the name of Jesus. not man. The Bible says that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. Ladies and gentlemen, our worship. Worship is not directed to man. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you and I don't get much out of the worship, it's because we're not putting much into it. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. In the book of 2 Thessalonians 1, verse number 12, the Bible says that He is to be glorified in His church. In the book of Ephesians chapter number 3, the Bible says, unto Him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm simply suggesting to you and I today that it is important that the name of Jesus be identified. Let me tell you something. The reason out here, you drive by and you look at this sign out here in the front and you see the Lithia Springs Church of Christ, we know the Lithia Springs describes the location, but the word Church of Christ describes the body, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, not exalting the preacher, not exalting some idea, not exalting some concept. And the Bible says in the book of Mark chapter 9 and verse 41, the Bible says, listen to this, if you give a cup of cold water, Jesus said, in my name. See, I can make Larry Acuff look good. If I could talk these elders into this church doing what I'd say do, they're smarter than that. But if I could talk them, or if I decide to talk them in, saying, okay, now look here, let's bring in some kind of a band over here and let's get some kind of a dramatic presentation and let's get something in here. No. Ladies and gentlemen, today, let me emphasize that the identity of the church is based upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is the identity, ladies and gentlemen, of the church. It is not identified by man. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ shed His blood, gave His life. In the book of Acts chapter number 20, in verse number 28, the Bible tells us, Paul calling the elders together at Miletus, and he said unto these, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. So why not, ladies and gentlemen, should we not bow before the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Should we not in our assembly and worship? Brother Jesse guided us in the Lord's Supper a few minutes ago. There are thousands of churches today who did not meet around the Lord's table. As often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. Oh, I hear folks say, well now, Brother Acuff, you know, they just take something as special and wonderful as the Lord's Supper and they make it routine. Jet and I have been married quite a while. I'm going to tell you something. It is after many years, and you who are married know what I'm talking about. Ladies, if you would admit it, I know you love it when your husband says to you, I love you. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I think about the name of Jesus, we think about the Lord's Supper. When you and I think about singing, and the Bible says teaching and admonishing one another, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, or singing with grace in your heart to the Lord, do you and I, ladies and gentlemen, understand the name of Jesus and the identity of Jesus in the church? Various polls have reported that Jesus is the most recognized name in the world. I want to ask this question. Why would I not want His name attached to this church? the most recognized name in the world? Why in the name of common sense would I want somebody else's name attached to you? You see, ladies and gentlemen, let's be honest. Let's be serious about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His body. He died for it. He built it. He is the foundation. He is the chief cornerstone. And when we get to the next point of sustainability, He will save it. Surely today, you want to be a part of it. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, see, He dictated the entrance into the kingdom. And that is, you hear the message of the Bible. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible teaches us that we are to repent of our sins. The Bible says in Luke chapter 13, verse number 3, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The Bible teaches me to confess. Watch this. The Bible teaches me to confess the name of Jesus before men. The Bible says, for an example, Matthew 10:32-33, Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will I deny also before my Father which is in heaven. The Bible says that with the heart man believes in the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The example in Acts chapter number 8, when the eunuch said, see, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Ladies and gentlemen, there's an absence of something in all of this confession. The absence is this, that I believe God for Christ's sake hath pardoned me for my sin. That's not in that confession. Have you made the confession, I believe Jesus is the Son of God? And upon that confession, baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins.